Today we're reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all.
Thank you, Becca. Thanks for that reading today. And please keep your Bibles open or your app switched on your phone so we can just have a look at Ephesians 4. We're going to start a new series today, looking at this passage and particularly those first six verses of chapter 4. There's lots of ones in there, and that's why I've called the series 1. And we're going to be exploring some of those ones during these next few weeks. These next few weeks show a little bit of a change for us as we begin to gather in person as well as online. And I was just reflecting on what is it that God wants to say to us as a church during this next season. And I landed on this passage, to be one. And I'm going to explore some of the different ones that are in Paul's letter and chapter 4 of Ephesians. As Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 4, he's a prisoner. He's writing this from a prison cell, lonely, isolated, locked down. And yet he wants to say some really important things to the church in Ephesus, and I believe to us as well, about the fact that even though we may be in different places, some of us still isolated, that we are still one. I think it's always been God's aim, God's plan, that we should be one. He was creating a new humanity. His plan from the very, very beginning. A new beginning with Jesus. A new opportunity to come together as the people of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, at the opening of Paul's letter in verse 9, Paul writes this, that he, God, has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfilment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. To bring unity, to make everything one, to become one people, worshipping and praising God. So today I want to start this new series by looking at one calling. Ephesians 4 verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This one calling that we have today. The Greek root word that is translated as calling is kaleo, and it's used in many other important words in the New Testament. Parakletos, for example, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes, is called to come alongside. Ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, the people who are called to belong to other people. And here in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, it's God's call to commit ourselves to following his way, to live a life that's worthy of the calling that he's placed upon our lives. A calling that is worthy. I don't know if you've ever played football in the school playground. I'm guessing some of us did. And there was always that moment when you had two captains and they had to pick who was going to be in their team. Now, I wasn't very good at football, I have to confess, but there was a time when the best player in the school, who was the captain, picked me to be part of his team. Now, that made me feel very proud. I don't think I was the last one to be picked either. But what it stirred in me was the fact I wanted to prove myself, because he thought that I was worth picking. And I was beginning to think about that the call of Jesus on our lives means that he thinks we're worth picking. He thinks we're worth calling. He thinks that we're worth being part of his team. And so that helps me to strive to live up to that calling, to live this worthy life of his calling upon me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul writes to Timothy, he, Jesus, has saved us and called us to a holy life, set apart, reflecting Jesus, not because of anything we've done, Paul goes on to say, but because of his own purpose and grace. this one calling, chosen to live a holy life because of Jesus, because of his grace. Maybe there are times when you don't feel worthy of such a calling. I mean, if only he knew what was going on in my life right now, he'd never want to call me. But if he's chosen you and called you, which he has, then he must think you're worth having as part of his team. See, we're called because of who we are. Before we're called to do anything, you're called to be someone, to be like Jesus, to live a life worthy of your calling, this one call. So I've got three things to say about calling this morning. Firstly, calling is about direction. Jesus says, follow me. You know, Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, we see that first calling that Jesus gave to those fishermen by the shore of Lake Galilee. And we read that how Jesus just simply said to them, follow me. It was a very clear call, a very clear invitation. And the text reminds us that they left their nets and followed him. It's an amazing call, isn't it? Follow me. I mean, no wonder they left their nets at once and went in his direction. There's always something to leave behind, but when Jesus calls, then we have a choice to make. Are we going to live a Jesus-centered life? Are we going to go in his direction? He says, follow me. Now, that might mean some changes. It might mean leaving behind some attitudes, some patterns of behaviour, some habits, things that we've been used to. But his call says, are you going to go in my direction? Will you do what I've asked you to do? Now, for some people, that might mean a complete change of job, like it did for the fishermen, although we read many times they went back to fishing. They hadn't forgotten how to fishing. They just had a new direction to go in now, following Jesus. What about Jesus when he met Zacchaeus, of course? When he met Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus came down from the tree and they went to his house for tea. And you all know the song that goes with that, of course. But you know, Zacchaeus carried on being a tax collector. But of course, now his focus was totally different. He paid back what he cheated. And one can only assume that he then didn't cheat anymore. See, God's call on your life is about the direction that your life is going, the decisions you're making, the life that you're living. What impact does the grace of Jesus, his forgiveness, his invitation to follow, what does it have on your work or how you love your family or how you serve your neighbours or how you deal with your finances? So you are called, but a worthy life heads in the right direction. And that direction is modelling yourself on Jesus. That's his call. That's his call to you today. See, secondly, calling is about availability as well. It's the here I am moment. I love the story of the two disciples, James and John. And when you read it in Mark chapter 10, it's quite an interesting encounter because they're both wanting Jesus to give them something. Not just anything, of course. They want to sit on his right and left hand when he's in glory. I mean, that's a pretty gutsy ask, isn't it? You can read about it in Mark 10, verses 35 to 37. I was trying to think what the equivalent would be, and I guess it's like asking your boss for promotion, a pay rise, an upgrade of your company car, and 6 weeks additional holiday as well every year. I mean, it's a big ask, isn't it, to be next to Jesus in glory. And so after Jesus explains to them, presumably quite exasperated, but seemingly very gently, that this isn't possible, the text goes on to Mark chapter 11. And in Mark 11, we read that Jesus sent two of his disciples to go and get a donkey. Now, I'd love to think, even though the text doesn't say so, we have to be careful about that. But I'd love to think, and I've got no proof of this, but I'd love to think that the two disciples Jesus chose to go and get the donkey were James and John. Wouldn't that have been amazing? Imagine how the other disciples would have felt about that, having just been indignant about James and John asking for the big ask in that case. I mean, they just asked to sit next to Jesus in glory, and Jesus tests them out and says, well, before any of that happens, are you available to go and get a donkey for me? Now, I do confess, I have once got a donkey, and I can tell you, It's not very easy. It's a very tough ask. But I think what Jesus is saying to us is, are you available? Are you available to do what I ask you to do? You know, this one call is about availability. Are you available to wash feet? Are you available to stop when you see someone in need, even if you're in a hurry? Are you available to stand next to a person who is so disliked that they're just about to get rocks thrown at them? Are you available to go to a tax collector's house for tea? See, you're called, but I think a worthy life is an available life. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read about God's call to that young boy, Samuel. You remember how his mum had dedicated him back to God and how she'd given him to Eli in the temple to serve as his apprentice. And Samuel was going to be used as he grew up to speak God's word to a nation in transition from judges to kings, and in particular to the life of David. But it started very early on. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read about the night when Samuel first heard God's voice. I mean, he didn't know that it was God's voice at the time, and so he just kept running to the priest Eli because he thought it was Eli who was speaking to him. And he said to Eli every time, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli didn't seem to understand what was going on either, and so he just told Samuel to go back to bed. But then Samuel heard the voice again, and eventually Eli realized what was happening, that it was actually God who was speaking to Samuel. And so he said to Samuel, "Next time you hear this voice, say in return, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Make yourself available to what God is asking of you. And Jesus is doing the same with you. Make yourself available. You've just got to listen. So are you available to go and get a donkey, if that's what he's asking of you? He may ask you to speak his word to someone. Are you available to do that? Calling is not only about direction, it's also about availability. And finally, I want to say that calling is also about connection. A worthy life is a fruitful life. And when you're living a life you're called to live, your life will grow and flourish and bear fruit. When you've aligned yourselves to the calling of Jesus, to live that worthy life, then fruit will come from that. You know, the Greek word translated for worthy is axios. It's where we get the English word axis from. And an axis is a central point around which everything rotates. It's a point of reference. So a worthy life builds itself around the reference point of Jesus. Our life revolves around who he is and what he's called us to do. A worthy life is faithful and fruitful to live up to the one call. And to do that, you need to stay connected to the one who calls you. In John chapter 15, Jesus uses the analogy of a vine, and he's the vine and we're the branches. And he says in that text that we must keep connected. A branch will only bear fruit if it's connected to the source of life, the vine itself. If you stay connected, then your calling will find you. If you stay connected, then you will begin to develop the character of Jesus. His life will flow into your life. That's how you live a holy life. When you're connected to Jesus, when you know and respond to his call, because it becomes the most natural, normal thing in the world to do. If you've got a Siri or an Alexa at home, I'm guessing you ask it quite a lot of questions on any given day. Apparently the most popular questions to ask those devices are about music or the weather or how to boil an egg, for some reason. Most people would like more help with learning another language or telling jokes or looking more attractive or distracting the kids. And I wonder whether it's easy to treat God like that, a resource rather than the relationship. To treat him more like Alexa than the Almighty. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "Let's fix our eyes, and dare I say our ears, on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, the perfecter of faith. Let's fix on him. Let's stay connected to him. It's the only way to live this worthy life, fitting, that matches the value of the call that he's making upon us. Make Jesus the axis of your life, that your life rotates around, the central point of reference, because he's chosen you. He's called you to live a worthy life. He trusts that you'll be able to do that with his help, with his life flowing in you each day. Align yourself to his voice. So this one call, the direction that you're travelling in, Jesus says, follow me. Your availability to him, here I am. And your connection to him, because apart from him, you can't do anything. Are you listening? Are you available? Are you prepared to go in his direction? God speaks to us in our restlessness. He speaks to us in times of change. He speaks when disaster strikes. He speaks when we've had great successes. He speaks in joy and in sorrow. God's calling will find you. So will you follow him? Will you make yourself available? And will you be connected to the source of life itself? One call, the call of Jesus to live a worthy life. We're going to pray together now. And I wonder what your response is today. Maybe today you're watching for the first time and this is the first time you've heard the invitation of Jesus to follow him. I'd like to pray for you right now to make a commitment to follow him, to respond to him, to get up and realign your life to what he's asking of you. This is the beginning point. It was the beginning point for those first followers. Jesus said, follow me. They didn't really know what the sort of adventure was going to go on, and it was full of ups and downs and challenges and disappointments and frustrations, but they followed him. So maybe today is the first day for you to get up and follow him, to make a commitment to be a follower of Jesus. So let's pause and let me pray for you, particularly today. And you might want to join in with this prayer that I'm going to say and make it yours today. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Let's just pause, shall we, and maybe there's something particular you want to ask his forgiveness for. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. And I now choose to turn from everything which I know is wrong and go in your direction to follow you. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, then we'd love to hear from you and help you on the next stage of your journey. So just please email inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk and we'd love to get back in touch with you and help in the next steps for you. Perhaps for you, you chose to be a follower of Jesus many years ago. And maybe today you just need to say, Lord, here I am. I've got distracted. I've been chasing the wrong answer, going to the wrong person. But I'm going to choose to come to you today, Jesus, because who else has the words of eternal life? I'm going to realign my life and my choices and my responses towards you, to your one call on my life, to live a worthy life. Or perhaps for some of you, maybe it's about reconnecting today. And instead of being frustrated, you're going to become fruitful. And God is going to use you in amazing ways to be a voice for his kingdom so that others might come to know him. Let me pray for you today. Father, just thank you for those who right now are saying that they're available to you. They hear your voice. And they're going to respond. Thank you for how you're going to use your people to continue to build your kingdom. May we stay connected to you, the source of life itself. And because we're connected, that we will be fruitful, that others will see Jesus in us, and we will make a difference everywhere we go. For those in workplaces, for those in families, Father, may your life flow through us. May our life be worthy in your sight. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Fill us again, I pray, and use us for your glory. In your name. Amen. May God bless you as you continue to take up the challenge of this one call. May you live a worthy life. In Jesus' name. God bless you today and every day.